welcome to the third of our Masters episodes of the Fantasy Wargaming Podcast. It's Paul.
And it's Tony.
And have we got an episode? The Masters lists are now all in, so those are going to be released very soon. Excitement is building. If you haven't already, obviously check out the other podcasts and also Proxy Table Gaming, who have been doing a sterling effort at, again, doing a lot of the media coverage for this Masters event.
Can I just say, that picture of Kevin will never leave the scene.
That's it. It's one of those now. He's like a politician that wishes he'd never had that photograph exposed, because that's it now. He's going to have to live with that.
I mean, obviously, when I close my eyes, that's what I see as well, Kevin, that lab coat. That's what I'm always smiling with when I sleep.
It scars me more. Although, when everyone out here is dulcet tones on the old paired weapons podcast, whenever I picture Kev, instead of picturing him like I used to across the table, I now picture him in that coat.
Kev, strong.
Indeed. But he can pull it off. He's done well.
So anyway, I think we've got sidetracked, though, because we've got a real special interview tonight. It's the UK 2021 rankings number one.
He's done really well, hasn't he? Hugh, the Wolverine Scarlet.
So we're joined today by Hugh. This is our third rankings interview, and we've finished on a high. So, hiya, Hugh.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Hugh. Welcome to the podcast. Been a while.
Yes.
Let's get straight into our standard format and we'll see where it takes us, shall we? So, First of all, this submission isn't for a week. Have you had a thought about your army as the points updates are out today? So, you got an idea what you're taking, and has it been hit very much by the point update?
I think I'm going to be going KOE. So, weirdly, did get hit by the points update because I was privy to the new book a little early, because I did a review with the Cavalier's Tale, Wes, in the run-up to Christmas. So I did see it a little early, wrote a list, and then it did get hit a little bit in the update because there was the interim period after everyone reviewed it, and then they changed the points right before it was released.
Yeah, a bit of controversy.
Well, I played against it over the weekend, and that was a surprise. Oh, no, not the weekend, it kind of last couple of days. And it's strong. I will certainly say that. It's
there's some really good stuff in the new book, which is what's drawing it to me. Like it's Masters, so you're looking for any edge. You either go in and just take what you want for fun, or what you're comfortable with, which is kind of what I did last year, to be honest. It wasn't a super competitive list. And this year, I think I'm going to go ride the new filth. I miss KOE. I've missed KOE a lot. And they've just been so boring for ages. And now there's and I've tried to make it work. And no, but this new book is strong and there's a lot of choice. So it's really promising.
So that's interesting, because that's not the army that's kind of put you into the rankings, is it? I mean, You mentioned before we started recording the different armies you'd used in tournaments this year. Do you want to run through, I mean, which one do you think is the one that's really powered you into your current position?
It's definitely Demon Legions. Yeah, like Demon Legions has definitely put me in the Masters this year. Strong book. Lot of good builds. I've run several things at tournaments that have put me in good stead, got me good scores.
I mean, yours was the three big demon build, wasn't it? I know you used it at last year's Masters.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I would never consider taking that to a big teams tournament or like ETC or like a practice event for that. But it somehow just like really powered through the mare. Like, it did. Like, the first one, I think I did the first one back, like, came sort of middling, and then it suddenly just was starting getting second place finishes with this list, and I was like, I just took it for fun, because it was fun to have the Hope Harvester and three big monsters on the table.
Well, I know Paul loves the Hope Harvester, don't you, mate?
The Engine of Damnation upgrade's massive.
I think it's good for the points, for sure. It's maybe not like top top tier filth, but it's certainly solid for the points.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's reasonable, and it does something. It just brings something to the list. But we're planning to talk about demons on another day, I hope. So, but yeah, you're right. It was definitely a strong list, and one that took a lot of people by surprise. The Miser in particular is something that I was surprised that you were taking and were doing so well with. But
well, the only way you fit three greater demons in is if you go that combo. And then, but the Miser, the thing with that list that caught a lot of people out is how the magic worked, the magic and the dominions worked. Blazing Glory, offense, defense, 10. There were two of those in there, as well as all the Great Demons and the Big Hope Harvester. And then the you combo the dominion on that, so it's defensive 12 against scoring. Cool. And then if you put a Know Thy Enemy, which the Miser had, or a Deceptive Glamour, which the Veil Serpents had, it goes up to defense 14 effectively, which means that offense 6 stuff is hitting you on sixes.
Yeah,
which is nuts. And there's not really anything you can do about that combo necessarily if you don't deal with the Blazing Glories early. And if you deal with the Blazing Glories, you might be ignoring the big guys. So
yeah.
It posed some problems for people in some areas, but it was also like the list also had some big weaknesses as well. So I guess I managed to dodge those in a couple of tourneys.
I assume that's been kind of your favourite army to use up to this point, but is KOE
There are some really good. In that particular army or the particular list?
Probably both, really. I don't know. I mean, do you differentiate it? It's a specific list, is it, for demons that you like, or?
I think it probably was the most fun one, actually. I think you're probably right. On both army and list, it probably was the most fun to all those single models running around. It was an incredibly it still is an incredibly mobile list. One of the ones that took the least of hit on the new update.
I mean, the other thing that hits it is obviously the Killer Duke.
I'm weird, and I mean, maybe if someone else is taking KOE to Masters, which might happen, I ran him back in the day, and like, and that's why I like, he's solid and everything, but like, he's more of a zoner than anything else, and I like having some experience with KOE before. Like, it's so hard to actually play that guy. He's useless off the charge. So if you're playing anyone who's got any sort of maneuverability in their list, then and they can set up a counter charge, it's really hard to use him. I remember back in the day for ETC, like 2 years ago, which was basically the same sort of build, Killy Duke. You'd spend all game trying to set up a charge to actually be able to do it.
I think you might have seen mine and Tom's game a couple of days ago where my warriors with sword and board were hid behind a wall opposite the Duke until he eventually took the charge and fluffed it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's the way ahead. He's not hide behind the wall.
Like, amazing setups or anything.
Yeah, when he killed a warrior on the charge.
Yeah,
yeah, but the potential to spike is huge. Such a powerful piece, and like you say, Hugh, if it can effectively zone for its points, it's very points effective.
I mean that's where I had that's why I had like issues with it back in the day, because like that unit, like the like you had a peg star with that guy in, but in the day, like a chariot will zone that, like a chariot can pin it for a round. Like and then, you know, something goes in and you can move something in to finish it off. So it was difficult to use. Yeah, like he's got hard target one on his own now, which is a big thing. So he can, but I'm not running to try that guy again. Like I mean maybe he becomes the meta, but like I'm not super sold on him.
It's not just the character, is it? It's what you're facing. If you end up against a, you know, mainly core troops or mainly troops army is not going to excel. If they've got three demons with three greater demons in, then you're laughing because they're
Yeah.
Hiding from you the whole time, I suppose. Like you say, you're zoning. Yeah, you're zoning everything.
So with the KOE, is that something where you're drawn to that army? Is that more just from a pure power point of view now, or has the army always had a bit of a? Have you always had a bit of a soft spot for the KOE? And any particular part of the book in particular, is it?
It's both. I think I touched on that earlier, but yeah, I basically ran it back in 2018. I think my first EDC was second, sorry, 2019. I think I ran it for like practicing with like 9 months for that EDC. I did fairly well with it. And then the update came out, killed the Duke, and then, killed the Super Duke. And then the book was like, I took some time off of it and went back on a couple of occasions to try and make it work, but it really struggled without the power of that guy. It felt like the book was, and it had such terrible, terrible bad matchups. Like, demons were awful and VS were also really bad. But now with the new book, I think they've addressed some of the issues quite considerably. And then, like, actually looking at the demon matchup now, I think it's completely flipped. I think demons are going to struggle against new KOE rather than the other way around. And VS, they've lost a lot of their toxic. It's not so prevalent in the meta now. So apart from the canister launches, I suppose. But even then, I think KOE are better at dealing. The new book is better at dealing with that stuff than it was before. So.
Okay, fair enough then. So is there any particular event?
I mean, that used to be a terrible game, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Oh, yeah. Both of those matchups were like pretty much auto-losers. You'd be lucky to get 5 points.
Well, I hated Vermin anyway back in the day. A lot of armies struggled with them, didn't they? It was just one of these bent armies that just, armor, what's that?
they were very strong.
Yeah. So are there any events in particular that jump to mind that have got you through to Masters this year? Is there anything that kind of strikes out that warrants a bit of focusing on?
Well, Wandering Wizards was funny. Like,
Was it Haristo?
Haristo's one with the, you can take a random wizard into your list and then you can take whatever lore you want on it, basically. And I went in there and I thought, like, this is just UB, right? So what's the most broken thing I can do with this? And then and I thought, Feldrax with Druidism. So you either give them toughness or you give them a regen on a unit that, like, if you put flaming on it, is going to be forced to reroll anyway. So, like, it doesn't get any bad. It kind of synergizes really well. And so I took that one and then I won the event.
Proving that's
it was the first time I ever played Warriors. Yeah.
Was it that combination? Did you find you were leaning on it, or was it just it was a good event anyway? Do you think
so? I think like I'm pretty like sure for any tournament, like I mean maybe players like Tanker or Craig or Mikey might disagree with me here, and I've won a couple of singles tournaments, but like not many, and this we're talking about over like, you know, 7 or 8 years sort of thing. I've only won a couple of them, and from my experience it tends to be you do need a good list, you need the right but you need the right matchups. But and you also need a little bit of luck in the right places. So I think in that one I had, there were a couple of occasions. I think I got Tanker's Herald in a last magic phase that got me enough points to just clinch the win. Otherwise he would have done it. I played Jake in that one as well. And there was on the last turn and I got like a cheeky, like, it was a swift stride, but I think it was a double six overrun into something. And that got me like a couple of extra tournament points for that as well on the last turn. So stuff like that, I think, is what you need for a win on an event.
It's probably worth mentioning you've scraped into the Masters in first place in the rankings. So.
Oh, that was, I was really pleased with that. But that was so close. me, Tanker, and Jake were all within about a point or two of each other going into the last event. And then...
That was TEC,
round five of that tournament, there was only, I think, two or three tournament points between all of us going into the last round. And I was playing Tanker, and I'd already played Jake. So... It was super close for us all battling out for first place on that. And I just squeaked a small win against Tanker in that last round. And I think Jake did finish one or two places above me, but he was a couple of points behind, and that was just enough for me to cinch it on the rankings rather than in the actual TEC score.
That's a really good way to finish it, though, isn't it? With the three of you battling it out at one tournament in...
The funny thing is we'd all basically played I played Jake and Tanker, and we'd also played those exact lists at the practice weekend one or two weekends before as well. We were all playing matchups we'd already done.
But so you got first place in Wandering Wizards. Was there any other? Was it just consistency of results that got you up into first then?
I mean, I think I did have some good results that this year. There was that first. There were two seconds with the Triple GDs. Those got me some good points as well. And the last one was also a decent solid. Yeah, so some consistency on that. Like normally a couple of top 10 finishes and then, you know, 2 seconds and a first, basically. So just TEC's field is so big that the increment's really low when you get into the top 10 places. So even a top 10 finish in that one gives you a pretty decent score.
So I know you were at last year's Masters. How many Masters have you been to before?
I have been to every Ninth Age Masters, and then none in Eighth, though, because I wasn't in the UK scene for Eighth. I was in Scotland.
Okay, so, I mean, I suppose you're not intimidated by going to the Masters, then. You've been there.
Yeah, I definitely was the first couple of times. It's a lot less intimidating now. I've got more experience with it now, and I'm more comfortable playing most of the guys.
How do you find it varies from normal tournaments then? Does it vary, or is it just...
So there aren't any easy games in Masters, basically, is the thing. And there just aren't any easy games. So it's tricky. Like, a lot of it will come down to individual matchups. And then I think most people will agree that, like, the five game format for Masters. I mean, you can't really go six games because it affects people's travel plans too much. But it's not great at deciding who the best player there is. So What you end up having is it's really matchup dependent, and also in terms of lists, not necessarily players, because as I say, they're most people are at a decent standard there. But also the army swap can have such a major factor in round two. I think it was round four in Masters last year, and I think Craig got a great swap in that one, from what I remember. Like, he was absolutely going to hate the matchup the other way around, and he got a swap, so it really helped him out.
As you said, sometimes, I mean, it does come down. In most part, I think it's player ability. But then, like you say, Hugh, I think one of the other biggest factors is who you're playing against, as in your matchup, as in is it a good matchup. And then finally, when you're in that matchup, just do you get luck at certain points, which then clinches you a few extra tournament points?
Yeah, that's I agree, definitely.
I think that's the three almost in that kind of order, because the good generals always end up on the top tables. But then you're not having the same person winning every single event, and it's not always the same army either, which is another good thing with ninth, in that most of the armies are takeable. So as well as most of the unit options as well, like you said, I mean, it comes down to lists and synergies and how you then use it, and then how it then comes out on the table. And then, like you said, I think the biggest one, like you mentioned earlier as well, was matchup. When you're going into the final round, or if you've got a big game and suddenly you're looking at it thinking, oh, best I'm going to get out of this is 10 if I'm lucky, then you're not going to win the event. It's as simple as that.
Exactly, yeah.
It doesn't matter how good you are. So,
I think you want to take an army that can play most games, but I genuinely don't think there is a ninth age army that doesn't have any bad matchups.
Yeah, there's definitely an internal balance, isn't it? And you're not seeing the same unit types either constantly, even though you might have the same armies. They're not spamming the same thing, apart from Blazing Glories and Demons, of course. It's something that's been looked at and walloped with a big stick now. So
last year as well, didn't they? A little bit, but
yeah, Demons, they've consistently hit the same units because it wasn't enough last year, apparently. So
no, that's it. And I think the thing is, sometimes even when it comes down to player style, wasn't it, and how that person's using those models, and also, there's not really much of a meta per se in the tournament scene. However, with new KOE coming in, there might be more armor, which makes Blazing Glories maybe even worth it now with their AP10. Who knows?
Well, see, the thing about KOE now as well is they have two mechanics for their ward save, right? So they have the mechanic where they get +1 against magical attacks, which is the whole army. Mm. And then you get +1 on the other units. You get +1 against anything that denies your armor. So with one token from the new book, you get a 4-up ward against a lot of units in the demon book, which is why I think demons are going to struggle, because they're going to be a lot more resilient than they were against the demons. And so I think it might be tricky for them.
Yeah, like you said,
certainly a lot more even.
I think picking the right list going into the Masters is one of the biggest things to do, because if you can mitigate those bad matchups, then you're maximising the amount of points you can get out of every game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, it makes perfect sense. So how do you think you're going to do? I mean, obviously, being a competitive player, I'm assuming you're going to win. I don't think
I'm going to take a... I mean, the thing is, I can't, I don't go, I don't think I've gone into a Masters thinking I'm going to win it, like, at any point. I will try and win it, but
that's
I don't
think I've ever gone... you go, wonky, PMA. Yeah. Go in there, smash them, take them off.
That's it,
the,
Paul, the you tell him what to do.
Yeah. Number one UK player in the currently, and I'm giving him advice. You got to go to win, mate. Take some names.
The thing about the Masters thing is, for me, like, just after the points update, and normally just after a new book release, it is so hard to, like, write a new list, at least personally for me, that I think will win at this event, with every book having changed in some capacity. And predicting what people are going to take. The meta's going to have shifted somewhat. Like, writing a list to say, oh, okay, I reckon I'll be able to beat everyone is really tricky. You've just got to write your best individual list. And I mean, I'm taking a new book because, you know, partly because I think it's strong, but partly because I haven't played it in so long. And, you know, I'll get as many games in on it as I can, just the list submission and everything. But I mean, it's a bit of a gamble, to be honest. So, I will try, but I'll be happy with fourth again. Fourth in four. That would be great.
Just outside the podium. No, you gotta go for the podium at least, mate. You gotta get yourself.
Well, yeah, fourth in four would be at some consolation anyway. Four years on the bounce.
Well, listen, mate, we wish you all the best. Good luck with the tournament, and
thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show and obviously talking to us. It's a real privilege. And hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see you there. We'll be in the open. So if you need some more advice on playing from Paul, over to the open and check the bottom tables and you should find him.
Yeah, I'll call you for my timeout.
Yeah. Cheers, Yuri, that's great, thank you.
No worries.
Hi guys, it's me, Lucky Sixes from Proxy Table Gaming.
And me, Maddie P from the Paired Weapons Podcast.
The Masters competition is back. For your chance to win a selection of these prizes, including gaming accessories, 3D print vouchers, the Breach introduction game, and commissions from the Gobbo, simply answer this question. Which army was placed at the top of the latest tier list, released in December 2021? Was it Orcs and Goblins?
Demon Legions?
Or Beast Herds?
To enter, simply send your answer to the following email address. PairedWeaponPodcast@gmail.com. That's the PairedWeaponPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to include your name, contact details, and your answer. Check out the Masters Review Show on the Proxy Table Gaming YouTube channel shortly after the tournament itself.
Thanks to all our partners and sponsors.
And good luck.
See you later.